W. Armstrong brings you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world to come. Today's broadcast is based on a number of important concepts from the last program in this series.
I am going to show you that soon these troubles are going to be over. And very soon, we're going to have world peace. I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace and peace in our time. Now, we need to understand what has been causing the troubles. We need to understand what is back of all of this. We need to understand what is going to bring peace to this world. This world has lost sight of its Creator, of its God. He reveals to us the cause. It's in His Word, which we call the Holy Bible, and it's very plain. It's very easy to read. It's plain and simple and clear. It seems, however, that almost nobody understands the Bible.
And now, with a continuation of the last program in this series, here once again is Herbert W. Armstrong.
God made us without any, well, either a good or a bad nature, but Satan begins to pump that sort of thing into us very early. Now, let me go on, though. First, I'll come to that a little later. I want to tell you about Jesus Christ now, who became flesh and dwelt among us. Mankind had been cut off. God didn't reserve this, though. He says, I will call a few that I need to do what I want done. I will communicate with them. I will tell them what I want done. I will give them some of my knowledge, and some of them I will put my spirit. And they will be begotten of me, later to be born of me and enter into my family, just as I am and just as the Word is, who became Jesus Christ, and by a resurrection of the dead, Christ now is very God. And He's the pioneer of many brethren. We're the many brethren that can follow Him and can be the sons of God, just as Jesus Christ is now. Now then, I want to show you what is prophesied back in Isaiah, for example, one of the ancient prophets, about Christ. And this is one of the things that are not ordinarily realized and not taught. This was given to Israel. God had called Noah, God had called Abraham, God had later called Moses to lead the descendants of Abraham out of Egyptian slavery and to become his nation, but he didn't offer them salvation or spiritual grace. But to ancient Israel, the descendants of Abraham, God said to the prophet Isaiah, for unto us, that is, the Israelites, a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Now that was to be Jesus Christ. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. I want you to get that word, government. You don't hear that preached. The gospel that Jesus brought is the gospel of the kingdom of God, which is the government of God in the hands of the family of God. And there is every effort to try to do away with the government of God still in this world. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That is Jesus Christ, who was to come. The increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And that is the good news, and it's coming in our generation and our time. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth and forever, the zeal of the Eternal of Hosts will perform it. That is going to be done. Now then, we turn over into the New Testament, and we turn over to Luke in the first chapter, and I'd like to read you what the angel said to Mary, the mother of Jesus, before Jesus was born, beginning with the 26th verse. In the sixth month of her pregnancy, the angel Gabriel, who was an archangel of the same status and power as Lucifer, but one who has remained holy in the way of God, was sent from God into a city of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, and her name was Mary. Now then, verse 30, the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now listen to this. He, Jesus, shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give unto him the throne of his father David to rule and to restore the government, the kingdom of God on this earth. Now, that was announced to Mary back before the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, I'd like to go to another prophecy. And that is back here in Malachi, the third chapter of Malachi. Here was another prophecy in the days before Christ came, and after Israel and Judah had both been driven out of the Holy Land. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall come to his throne, even the messenger of the covenant. That was speaking of Christ as the messenger of the covenant. But there was to be someone to prepare the way before him. The messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, says the Eternal of Hosts. Now if you read on, it tells of things that when he comes, Christ did not do when he came here 1900 and some years ago. They are things that he will do when he comes a second time. The Bible shows that Jesus was to be appearing on this earth twice, first to be born of a virgin, to grow up, the government will be on his shoulder, but again he's coming later to rule and to take over that government and to put away Satan, who's been sitting on that throne all of this time, and to bring us peace, and that is the great hope I'm bringing you now. That is going to happen in our time. Now, let's carry right on. There are two comings, and there was to be someone preparing the way before him. Now, at the time of his first coming, we will find in Mark, the first chapter and the first verse, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. My friends, that gospel was taken away and was changed to a different gospel even by 60 A.D., you'll read in the book of Galatians, which the Paul wrote to Galatia about 59 A.D., that already they had turned away from the true gospel, that Paul had given them to another gospel. Today, the gospel usually means to people, they think it means about the gospel of men, about Jesus Christ, the message of men. Gospel means good news. Gospel is a message. It's a news message. Most people seem to think that it is a message of men or preachers about Jesus, and that it's just believing on Christ. Now, if you read in John, the 8th chapter, and beginning with the 30th verse, you will find that there were many at the time Jesus was on earth who began to believe on him. But to those Jews who believed on him, he said, "You seek to kill me. Why? Because you don't believe what I say." God talked to Adam and Eve. They did not believe what he said. Satan talked to them, and they did accept what he said. And it's been that way ever since, my friends. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's the messenger, and the gospel is the message he brought. That message has not been preached to the world. They've only talked about the messenger. Now, I bring you the message. As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before me. Then it goes on to explain about John the Baptist, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way for the Lord. John the Baptist prepared the way for the first coming of Christ. But as I say, the prophecy I just read to you from Malachi talks about the second coming of Christ and the things he'll do then. Who is the messenger to prepare the way before the second coming of Christ? We're in the generation when he's coming. The time is now. And you better open your ears and you better begin to believe it. There's a saying today, you better believe it. And let me tell you, you better believe this, because you have not been hearing it, and this is the truth straight from God and on the authority of Jesus Christ. I don't speak on my own authority. I speak on the authority of Jesus Christ. And the word is true. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger. Now it describes about John the Baptist for several verses there. And coming down, it shows in verse 9 how Jesus came to be baptized of him. And then how Jesus had been tempted by Satan, which is not, the details are not given in Mark's gospel here, but I will show it to you from Matthew. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, tempted of Satan. Matthew gives us a whole detail of that in the fourth chapter of Matthew. And was with the wild beasts or animals, and angels ministered unto him. Now, in that time, that was the greatest battle ever fought in all the universe, in all history. And Christ overcame that Satan, the former Lucifer. And Jesus Christ qualified now to take the government, to sit on that throne, to do away with this Satan. And Satan has caused all of the troubles that we have in this world today, because he has gotten to men through the human spirit that is in us. And he has gotten into us the ways of vanity and lust and greed and jealousy and envy and competition and strife and warfare and violence and destruction. And that's what the world has been filled with. Now, he was there 40 days and 40 nights, and he conquered Satan. And now the next verse, 14th. Now, after that John was put in prison, and that Jesus had already qualified now, Jesus came into Galilee, not to Jerusalem, but into Galilee, preaching what? The gospel of the kingdom of God. Not a message about himself. He was a messenger, and the message he brought was from God, and it was about the government, the family, the kingdom of God. And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. How was the time fulfilled? Someone had just qualified to set up that kingdom, to replace this Satan that was still on the throne in rebellion against God, and to bring people to God and to the ways that will bring peace and happiness and even eternal salvation and eternal life to the human family. And the kingdom of God is at hand, and said, repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, as I said, there were two appearances of Christ that were prophesied. And the first was when he came over 1900 years ago as a human being, and just as mortal as we are in that sense, that he could die, and he did die. He took on himself our sins. He was God as well as man. His only Father was God. He was able, therefore, to live perfectly. He overcame Satan. Satan got to him just like he does to us all the time through the human spirit, but he rejected every bit of it. Never once. He was tempted in all points like we are, but not once did Jesus Christ ever sin. Never did he try to glorify himself. He was a humble man, and yet to him was given all the power in all the vast universe. And Jesus was the messenger of the covenant. John the Baptist was the first messenger before him, his appearing, and there is to be someone to prepare the way for his second coming, and the second coming is to be in this generation. Now that might give you something to think about.
Herbert W. Armstrong will return right after this message. What is the true gospel? This free booklet helps you understand one of the most divisive questions of our time. We live in a world of many different religions. While teaching peace and harmony among men, their people are led to war against one another. witness the long-standing Hindu-Muslim conflict, the Jew-Arab crisis, and the Protestant-Catholic confrontation in Northern Ireland, all believing they have the true religion. Ironic, isn't it? With over 400 denominations in the Western Christian world, haven't you ever wondered which one is right? Who teaches what Jesus taught? This free booklet helps you understand that message in the light of today's world. What is the true gospel? Your copy is free. There's no charge or follow-up. What is the true gospel? Send your request to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California, 91123. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California, 91123.
Now, this Lucifer has become Satan. He has deceived the entire world. For just a moment, I'd like to have you turn with me, if you have a Bible. And if not, just listen to Ephesians, the second chapter, and in verse 2. Well, I'd better begin in verse 1 because it'll make more sense. And you hath he quickened, or that is, made spiritually alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, Satan is there called the prince of the power of the air. In this room are the sounds of many voices, some singing, some talking, and you're not hearing them. You're only hearing my voice. But you bring a number of radio sets in here and tune them to different radio stations, and they will tune in on the right wavelength, and they will show you that those other voices are right here, only your ear isn't tuned to that wavelength. Now, the spirit that imparts the power of intellect to every human brain also is something that Satan can use to get something into the human brain. He's the prince of the power of the air. He does not broadcast. And I know something about broadcasting. I've been doing it since 1933. He does not do it in pictures like television. He does not do it in words or sounds. You don't hear...